Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
For another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, which is new every Thursday, podcast1.com and iTunes. Thank you guys for downloading, streaming, checking it out, favoriting it. Is that the way you say that? Favoriting, yeah. Whatever you do with this podcast, however you listen, wherever you are in the world, whenever, thank you for doing so. Thank you for checking it out via iTunes and podcast1.com, as I said, with new episodes going up for your enjoyment each and every Thursday. So if it is a Thursday, you are listening to this on post day, and I am glad to have you guys on board. And we've got another great interview for you this week that we'll get to in just a second. Remember, here we are now, just like, what, a week and a half away from Christmas, and it's still not too late to do some Christmas shopping. If you do that on Amazon, I ask that you start on my Amazon page, which is amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Go there and shop away. Right on that homepage, you'll see some of my hand-picked items that may be of interest to you, my audience. And if not, that's okay. Go ahead on to other parts of the site. But always start amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Much appreciated if you do that. So, yeah, it's crazy because here in New Jersey, we've already had our first snow and ice with more on the way. So the winter is full on board. I'm very much looking forward to getting out of the winter very soon. I'll be doing that on board Cruise to the Edge and the Monsters of Rock Cruise, which I'll be broadcasting my Sirius XM show on and hanging out with some great rock fans in what hopefully will be some great weather on a great cruise ship. If you're headed on those cruises, I will see you on board. Also, if you are in Houston and you're listening to this on post day, I will see you tonight at Proof Rooftop Lounge. My first time ever going to this venue, which I hear is very cool. It's a rooftop in Houston where they've been doing rock shows now for a while. And it's outdoors because it's a rooftop, but I hear it's a pretty cool scene. And the shows are free there, from what I understand. You need to have a ticket, but the tickets are free and should be a fun scene. I'm hosting LA Guns, Enough's Enough, and former Skid Row singer Johnny Solinger tonight in Houston. Again, if you're listening to this on the day it goes up, which would be the 14th of December on that Thursday. So come on out if you're in that area of the country. I was supposed to do a broadcast from Houston this Friday in the afternoon for my Sirius XM show. That, unfortunately, is not going to happen due to a scheduling conflict. However, if you are in Dallas Saturday night, I'll see you at the Bomb Factory in Dallas, hosting their metal concert with Ace Frehley and Dokken and LA Guns and a bunch of others. So, final two road appearances of 2017 tonight, if you're listening on post day, the 14th of December, Proof Rooftop Lounge, Houston. This Saturday, December 16th, Bomb Factory in Dallas. Come on out, hang, join us for what should be a lot of fun. By us, I mean all the great bands and myself. And as we get ready to dive into the holidays here, man, it's right here now. We're right on the cusp of a great time of year. And then as we get into next year, I'll let you know what's going on because there is a lot. And there's the NAMM show coming up, which I'm going to be at that and doing some broadcasts from in Southern California. So I'll be doing cruises and the time at NAMM. I'm getting some time out of the winter, which is not a bad thing living in New Jersey. So I'll tell you more about some of the stuff coming up next year as we get closer. You can always check out all my appearances on the homepage of EddieTrunk.com. At Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook are the other ways to connect on social media. We've got a great interview for you this week. I got to tell you, this is a guy that I've become quite friendly with in recent years. I first got to know him when he became the lead singer in Slash's band, The Conspirators. I'm talking about Miles Kennedy. And you will hear an interview with Miles that I did in Tulsa a little over a week ago. And I did this at the Hard Rock in Tulsa, where I just wrapped up some great broadcasts, had a great time there. And Miles was nice enough to drop by. Alter Bridge are doing a little run of touring here in the U.S. before they call it a day for the cycle for their latest album, The Last Hero. And I got to tell you, I have become a massive Alter Bridge fan. I didn't get it. I'm a little late to the party on them. I came in on AB3. I remember Miles giving me that third record at a Slash gig, actually, and I loved it and absolutely loved the follow-up album Fortress and loved this current one, The Last Hero, as well. And then, of course, I went back and discovered Blackbird, which has some amazing stuff on it as well. The only record I haven't really listened to and gotten all that into is their first album, but I'll get to that eventually. But I've seen the band now 3-4 times, and they are simply amazing to me. Incredible band, incredible players, incredible vocals, and heavy, way heavier than I think a lot of people think they would be. And I really, really love this band. They're one of the, you know, I see so many bands so many times so often. And it's no slight on those bands. It's just that after a while, you just kind of, okay, seen them. But there's that handful of bands that I don't see all that often, and I get really excited when I get that opportunity, and Alter Bridge is certainly one of them. Had a chance to see them play this past Wednesday at the Canes Ballroom in Tulsa. Just absolutely blew me away. And now they're going to be taking a little bit of a break. Mark Tremonti has his own band, Tremonti, which is also very heavy, and Mark will be focused on that for most of 2018. Miles is getting ready to release his first ever solo album, which will come out on March 9th, called Year of the Tiger. As you're about to hear, it's a very personal album for him. It's a concept album. It's more of an acoustic sort of singer-songwriter sort of album. But it's a very heavy subject matter dealing with his father's death. And I'll tell you, it's a really powerful record. When you get a chance to hear this, I think you'll agree. I know it's a little ways from coming out, but Miles was nice enough to swing by my broadcast position last week at the Hard Rock in Tulsa. And he, as usual, very entertaining. We had a great conversation. We had some fun. We had some laughs about a lot of stuff and talked about everything from Alter Bridge to Slash to colonoscopies. Yes, you heard me right, colonoscopies. So I think you're going to enjoy this interview. Like the interviews, just about all the interviews here on the Eddie Trunk podcast, this originated and aired live on my show on Sirius XM 106 volume. You can hear me there each and every day, Monday through Friday, live 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, replay every night 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and on demand on the Sirius XM app. Here on the podcast, you get just a little sampling of the interviews that I bring to you each and every day, daily, on volume. Hope you join me for that show if you are not doing so already. Hey, holidays are coming. Maybe a Sirius XM subscription is a good idea, and you can keep up with everything I have going on and listen every single day to my interviews and rock talk that happen there on volume. But here on the podcast, a little taste little sampling each week of some of the things that I'm doing there. Speaking of holidays, EddieTrunk.com. We got a merch store there. Trunk Nation, Eddie Trunk shirts, hats, and more. All on sale for the holidays. Please have a look on my site when you get a chance. And anything else I need to tell you before we get to our interview? I don't think so. I think we got it covered. You know all the social media stuff to keep up with. I mentioned EddieTrunk.com. You can email me, Eddie at EddieTrunk.com. And kind of winding down for the holidays, but not really for me because I'm working straight through and then right into the new year. So hopefully you guys have some downtime. And like I said, hopefully I get to see you in Houston and Dallas if you are in that area of the country, either Thursday or Saturday. Let's get a break and come back and join Miles Kennedy at the Hard Rock in Tulsa talking about his new solo album, Alter Bridge / and a whole lot more. Stick around. It's on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
TrueCar, I've been telling you about it forever. You got to check it out because there's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know, and that's using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you can get upfront pricing, information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars, and a better buying experience through our TrueCar certified dealer network. There are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. You'll see what other people paid for the car you want so you can know what a fair price is and feel confident. With TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the new or used car you want. So when you are ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Hey humans, David Smalley here from the Dogma Debate Podcast, right here on Podcast One, where we talk about all the things you're not supposed to discuss at work: religion, politics, abortion, racism, slavery, and that's only when we open the Bible. We discuss Islam, Islamophobia. What does that even mean? We chat with vegans, animal rights activists, and even visit factory farms to see it for ourselves. I invite people from multiple backgrounds to convert me into their worldview. But as long as they're okay with being respectfully challenged, you better bring your evidence. And I never lose sight of how both the left and the right are seeming to lose their minds. So basically, we're solving all the world's problems right here on Dogma Debate.
And you've been missing it.
Watch our 360 virtual reality videos on the Podcast One app and download Dogma Debate on iTunes, Stitcher, or PodcastOne.com.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome back to the Eddie Trunk Podcast, and now we take you inside the radio booth at the Hard Rock in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I was joined by Miles Kennedy. This interview happened last Wednesday. It aired originally on my SiriusXM show on Volume. Happy to be able to bring it to you this week on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Enjoy.
Before we get to all of that, on a serious note, you actually do have a lot of colonoscopy experience.
I do. Boy,
why?
We're jumping right into it here.
We are.
I have a stomach disorder, so yeah, they keep an eye on things there. I'm kind of a veteran. Last time I was just in earlier this year, and I remember before I went in for the procedure again with my doctor, I asked him if I could get a punch card because we've done this so many times. So I could get like a 10th one for free because I think I'm at 7 now or something.
When did you start? When was your first one?
In my early 30s.
Because you had issues.
I had issues and they had to find out what was going on. And then, so now they just have to keep an eye on things. But yeah, it's really not that. But as you know, it's the prep that's the drag.
Right.
That day before is just like, don't plan on doing anything. Bring some reading material.
And I mean, that's the reason why I think it's important to talk about it. And I don't shy away from bringing it up because there's a lot of people that have like a weirdness about it. And I don't know if you were listening earlier when I said it on the air, but when Ronnie James Dio died, Ronnie had stomach cancer. Uh-huh. And if Ronnie would have gotten screened, Ronnie died at 67. He never was screened. And he was also one of those guys that if he had things that were bothering him, he would just be like, ah, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it pass.
Right.
And his when I actually hosted his funeral, which is crazy to say, but I did. And I remember talking to his doctor and I said, Doc, what can we do? And he goes, you know what? You got a platform. And my dad had colon cancer, so I have a family history now. And he's like, put it out there. Tell people it's important to get screened. It's not anything to be embarrassed about. It's important as we get older. So that's why I talk about it so openly.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. And I said, you know what? If that's the one thing that I can do to help spread the word, because you know, my audience is predominantly male. And as you get older, no matter how old you, even if you don't have any issues by 50, you should start doing it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, if you want details about the prep, we'll do a whole show on that tomorrow.
Yeah.
But like Miles said, you just basically drink some stuff, you shit your brains out for a day, and the next day you go, and the actual procedure is nothing.
No, the procedure is nothing.
So, it's not that anyway, bad. Man, it's good to see you. I didn't even realize that you were doing a little Alter Bridge run here.
Yeah.
And when did you start?
We started this one about a week and a half ago, and this is after this we powered down for a while. This is probably the longest we've toured an album that I can remember. We've been out for 18 months, so we did Europe last month, and that was fabulous. We did two nights there at the Royal Albert Hall with the orchestra and everything, and then we hit as many marks as we could for the remainder of the month, and then we figured we'd close out here in the States. So we wrap it up in my hometown of Spokane, Washington, next Saturday, week from Saturday.
Nice. Yeah. Hometown gig.
Woohoo.
But as far as playing in Europe, we've talked about this before, what Alter Bridge means outside of America is very different than here in America. Yeah. Because you guys are in arenas there now, right?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you released that O2 arena show. You played the O2, which
we did.
Full on.
Yeah, it's a great venue. It's kind of the Madison Square Garden of the UK, essentially.
Yeah.
And that was such a fun show because we did that with Gojira and Volbeat.
Right.
I
had all you guys in when the record came out, and I remember most of the time you and Mark were so excited about the fact that Gojira was on.
Oh gosh, yeah, we were total fanboys.
And I ran into Mario from Gojira after that, and I told him, and he's just like, it was the first time I met him, and I said, how'd things go with Alter Bridge? He said, good, good. I said, I had him on my show. I said, it's half the time they spent talking about you instead of their own record. He just laughed. He seemed like a nice guy.
Both him and his brother are just exceptional human beings. Yeah. Love those guys.
Yeah. So you did great, great business over there. I mean, what's building over there is pretty remarkable, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We noticed that over a decade ago. We were like, what's going on here? Why is this taking off over here relative to the United States? And we're not complaining. It's a good thing.
But we talked about that before, and Doug, I got people running, get me drinks all over the place. But thank you, Doug. I appreciate it. Stay in, Doug, if you want. I don't know what you're doing. Doug went, and my good friend Doug Burgess went and picked up Miles. He's running. I got handlers today. I got helpers today. It's good. I feel like I actually got people today. We talked about that before, though, Miles. And for this audience, why do you think? I mean, and don't get me wrong, Alter Bridge is taking some great strides here in America as well.
Yeah.
And it's really building here, which is great to see. But what do you think it is about Europe and England, where the band's a whole different level there? What happened there? Why is that?
I think some of it is just hard rock in general seems to be a little more, I don't want to say it's not mainstream, but it's just... It's different there. It seems like there's more of an audience, and there are many other bands who feel the same way. They go that will attest to the fact that their biggest business is done in Europe.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
Do you think some of it though? And I had this theory too that for a while, Alter Bridge kind of, in the beginning especially, had to fight the stigma that Alter Bridge was Creed with you as a new singer.
Right.
Even though Alter Bridge, to my knowledge, has never played a Creed song live. Right. Mm-mm. So it is a completely different band, but of course, three quarters of the band, and Creed carried some stigma, like rightly or wrongly, here in America. So you think that played into it? Because I think Mark told me that Creed actually was of course, huge in America, mm-hmm. but never really that big outside of America. So I always wondered if that played into it a little bit.
It's a possibility, yeah. I mean, I think that we've noticed finally after a long time touring in the States that it feels like that stigma to a degree has lifted. But you look, I mean, they were such a massive band, and that's just what happens when you get that popular. That tends to be a thing, kind of become a target to a point. So
yeah. Was there ever any discussion when you put Alter Bridge together to do to play a Creed song or two?
No. I think it was just from the genesis of the project. Decided that this was gonna we were gonna
clean
do this.
Slate, yeah,
clean
whole
slate,
new thing.
Clean slate.
Which is actually a pretty, if you think about it, a pretty gutsy thing, because it could have been really easy and made the growth of the band a little easier because, perhaps, you're throwing in 3-4 big hits that everybody knows.
Right. That's a good point, actually.
And I mean, I see both sides of it. It's a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
But I think it's great that you establish it as its own entity and now five great records in their own right. But if you would have done, there's plenty of bands, three-quarters of another band that had huge hits. Well, let's throw a couple in, especially early on when nobody knows our stuff.
Absolutely. It happens all the time. But I think for me, when it was obvious that we were going to do this and start from square one, it was exciting for me because I thought that first of all, it just showed that they weren't going to take the easy way. They're willing to start over, pay their dues all over again, and work. And there's definitely a work ethic there that I really find cool, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Well, they had been through a lot too, as they've talked about publicly a lot coming out of that situation. So I'm sure they wanted more than anything, even though as easy as it would have been to go down that road, I'm sure that they wanted just a clean break and a fresh start, which of course it ended up being. What is, and Alter Bridge now is going to do these remaining shows, and then is it, because I noticed Mark, because Mark has his own thing, Tremonti, I saw his logo popping up on a couple festivals over coming up next year. So it looks like he's going to go back and do that. He's made a few great records with his own band. You were going to talk about your solo record in a second. So I know your world between what you do, now you're introducing a solo record, and of course with Alter Bridge, and what may or may not be going on with Slash, you kind of have to plan and map your world out quite a bit going forward. Yeah. So what is it looking like? Because Slash, I texted him yesterday. I mean, he's finally on downtime for about 6 months or so. You guys talked?
Yeah, we connect via text once in a while and just check in. But right now, for me, now that AB is powering down, it's just to full steam ahead with this solo record.
Right.
And then the plan is to, in 2019 with AB, to get that rolling again. So,
So there's been no dialogue with him about starting up with the Conspirators?
It's been talked about. It's just obviously that the Guns thing is doing so well.
Right.
And so we'll just see how that all plays out.
Yeah, I just was wondering because I've already noticed, like, Duff announced another band that he's doing.
Right, Loaded. Is he doing Loaded again?
No. It was a totally different.
Oh, totally different. Right.
Yeah, so I saw him pop up in a band and start doing some stuff with that, and I'm figuring that, okay, maybe there's this six-month window. I know you guys with Slash, Slash told me, like, a record almost half done or half written.
Yeah, half written years. What was that? Towards the end of the World on Fire? Well, I know we had some stuff brewing.
Right.
Yeah. But we'll see. You know, these are wonderful problems to have.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of just being able to be a musician and have these various outlets to create. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out.
Well, and I'm sure too, he doesn't mind having some downtime after that whole GNR machine just went through. I mean, it's, you know, what's crazy about the whole Guns N' Roses thing? I said this the other day. They just wrapped up what, 2-3 years of touring, whatever it's been. Playing the Normo domes of the world, right? And who would have thought? I certainly wouldn't. When this, and you and I were at the first show,
right,
in Vegas.
Yeah.
We were all there. And who would think? Here we are, however many shows later, how many years later? Not a hiccup.
That's
not a,
good.
Not a like almost boring that it was so uneventful. Not a late start time. Not any issues. Not any. To the public, not any fighting of nothing.
Yeah,
like the thing. I mean, I don't think anybody could have realistically imagined that thing would have gone as smoothly as it did.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's been great for rock and roll in general, and I'm really happy for all those guys because it's been, you know, it's been what an epic adventure that's been. Really cool.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. All right, well, let's get to, and then Alter Bridge, you're thinking another record and tour in 19?
Yep. That's the plan.
So 18 is going to be committed pretty much to Mark doing his thing, yeah, and doing your thing?
Yeah. So I'm going to get out and start to, you know, promoting the Year of the Tiger record. And
well, let's talk about that right now.
All right.
Because you had been telling me about a solo record,
mm-hmm,
and fans have been, and we've talked about a solo record that you've had for a number of years, and even Mark Tremonti would say to me, like, he's got to put this thing out. Yeah. And that's not the record that's coming out.
No, that's not the record.
So what the hell happened to that record?
You know, I just felt like its shelf life had expired. I did the majority of the writing for that in 2009 and started recording it late 2009, then finally had time to actually finish the entire thing a few years ago. And when I step back and listen to it, it just was, I don't know, my gut was just saying, you know what, this isn't what you want to put out first. So there is one song from that record that I recut and basically just took the demo vocal and then rebuilt around it. But other than that, I started over again late, probably around Christmas time of last year, and started writing Year of the Tiger.
Now, we're going to get into what this new record is about, which doesn't come out till March, so I'm sure we'll do more on it when it gets closer. But the record that you more or less shelved,
mm-hmm,
direction-wise, musically, was it very different than this, than what you did, or was it in the same vein musically?
I think my original intention was I wanted it to be in the same vein as what this ended up being, but it became a little more, I guess, for lack of a better word, it's a little slicker, a little more produced.
The first one you didn't release.
Yeah, yeah. And the goal was always to try and create something that was a little more stripped down and a little more organic. And I just feel like with the first one, when you have technology, it's a good thing, but it also can be, you can kind of be your own worst enemy because you have so many tracks and so many things. Well, let's try and put this part here. Well, let's add this weird guitar sound here, and let's add this texture here. And before you know it, you know, you've just got this wall of sound. And I really wanted to avoid that and have this be about the vocal and not a lot of icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
So with Year of the Tiger, you know, what we did is we went to tape. We had a limited amount of tracks.
You did it on analog?
We did it on analog, most of it on analog. And you know, obviously that's just sonically, at least for us old school guys, a little more pleasing. You know, there's just nothing quite like it. And I think the biggest thing is just that we had a finite amount of tracks to work with. So you had to really commit to things and not say, well, okay, well, let's put this part here and then we'll do another dozen tracks and see what works. Or maybe we'll just throw them all up in the
right,
final mix.
Right, right.
That really changes how you approach the sonic landscape.
So before we talk about Year of the Tiger a little bit more, though, on the, because now you've got this record, you realize, like, Prince had the Black Album.
Right.
And there's the never-to-be-released Miles Kennedy record. One day it'll come out with just a black sleeve. Like, I'm fascinated by this. Is it hard for you to write songs and write a full record of songs like you did on this unreleased record and then just not ever do anything with them? Do you feel like it was, like, I don't know, wasted time, or that it was just, I don't know. I would think that, to me, if I were a musician and I wrote a full record of songs that I felt really good about at the time that I wrote them, and then all of a sudden I just shelved them, like, you know what, now they actually kind of suck. Or not that they suck, but, you know, just didn't feel right about it.
Right.
I feel like, man, what a wasted exercise. Do you write a lot that doesn't come out in general?
Yeah, most of them. I mean, I'd say 5% of what I write is heard. You know, all I do is, I don't have much of an existence outside of writing and playing.
So take me through your process when you write, especially for like a solo record like this. Do you set down time where you're like, I'm going to write songs, or you're always on the road? Are you like, oh, I just got an idea, let me get my iPhone and hum the melody or something like that? Or are you a carve out time guy, or on the fly, I woke up, it's in my head, I got to put it down?
It's both. Yeah, it's and oftentimes once the process starts. So if I have the carved out time, if I'm at home and I've got my that kind of open the floodgates and let you know, start trying to be creative, I have a real tough time turning it off. And my wife, bless her heart, I don't know how she does it, because it's just kind of a nonstop process. You know, we could be at dinner and all of a sudden out comes my iPhone and I'm, you know, wait, just a second, honey. I have this melody part. I got to, you know, it's just, it's hard for me to shut it off. Now, with that said, recently, once I finished Year of the Tiger, I intentionally was like, okay, the power button is off now. I'm not going to write for a few months so I could refill the well because I was starting to feel a little tapped out. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes I'll dream things. You know, if I'm in the process, the songs will actually start to come together as I'm sleeping. If I'm in like that half, you know, when you're just as you're starting to fall asleep, that's a lot of times when the best stuff will come.
That's the only way I exist in sleep. I always exist in that middle level.
Really?
I haven't figured out how to go deeper into that level. No, I'm always half awake.
Really?
Oh, God, you don't even talk about me sleeping. Man. Oh, my God. You saw my counter. You think I was some sort of raging drug addict or something because I go like, okay, we'll start with half a melatonin, and then if that's not going to work, we're going to go to full melatonin, and if that doesn't work, we'll go to the full melatonin with herbs in it. Okay, if that doesn't work, we'll start with the 7.5 sleeping pill. Oh, no, that's not. Then we're going to go to 15, and then we got to go to 30 if it's a real problem. Yeah, it's great. You know why? I can't turn my mind off.
Right.
That's the thing. It's not like I'm having any issues or I can't turn my mind off. And this is how fucked up I am. Like, I can't, like, sometimes my mind, like, you would think, okay, you can't turn your mind off because it's, you're stressing about bills or home or work or your kids or whatever. No, and I'm not a musician and I can't write or play shit, but I can't get songs out of my head. I'll have songs just on loops in my head. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's crazy, man. I'll like wake up and there'll be a song and then I'll obsess about that.
Well, like, how do you mean like you obsess about it?
So I just can't get it. I can't clear my head.
So, but you're just like listening to the song in your head.
Yeah, it's playing
and
in my
along.
Head. Like, yeah, and I'm like thinking about it. And then I'm like, okay, what's the next song on this record? And okay, what's the running time on this record? And oh, yeah.
Who's the assistant engineer on this
Paul
record?
Clear Mountain mixed this. And oh, that's right. Oh, Brian Adams cuts like a knife. There's a great song on that record. Oh. Don't Leave Me Lonely. Eric Carr co-wrote that. Man, I miss Eric. Like, wow. Shit, like, yeah, you're looking at me like I'm fucking crazy now.
Well,
but remember when you said to me, Slash looked at you once and goes, there's a lot of traffic going on in there. So we both have traffic.
Right, that
That's
traffic.
The problem.
You know what? And I've been really trying to work at that. I'm starting trying to get into like, you know, Eastern philosophies and whatnot and the whole Zen thing. And
you
actually,
meditate?
Yeah.
You do?
I do. And you know what? It works like a champ.
People keep telling me I should do that.
You should try it, man. Look into it.
I can't turn off. That's the problem.
I'll tell you what. I got some. I just sent something to our bass player the other day and he tried it. He loves it. I'm going to send it to you later.
What is it, like a tape or something?
Yeah, it's, you know what? It's this book. It's a book I actually, somebody turned me on to about a decade ago by this guy named Kenny Werner. It's called Effortless Mastering. It's for like jazz musicians, but he also includes this really awesome, like these four exercises where he kind of walks you through these meditations. And I'm telling you, they just work. Like, it totally calms me down and gets me totally present.
You smoke weed?
No. I you know what, occasionally, and it's just not my jam. It just makes me paranoid. Yeah, it's just not my thing.
Did you when you were a kid?
No, here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just wasn't my.
See, I never did either. And I think I need to start.
Well, come on up to Spokane. It's legal there.
It's legal in a lot of places.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm not even joking when I say that. There's a lot of people have said that to me over the years. Like, you should really start smoking weed, dude. Yeah. It'll mellow you out and help you. And I never did, even when I was a kid. I mean, I have tried it a couple times, but I don't think I've been properly high because I don't know how to smoke properly because I never smoked cigarettes, so I don't even inhale it the right way. And then,
you're pulling a Bill Clinton.
Yeah, well, I'm serious. And then I went to see Rush on their last tour in Denver, and at that time, marijuana and weed had just gone legal in Denver. So I went to there was like a store on every corner. So I walked in there and I'm like looking around and the guy's like, oh, you want this strain? I go, dude, I never smoked this shit in my life. I'm just kind of looking. And he's asking me, well, what are you looking to do? And I said, well, I don't want stuff that's going to make me hungry because I don't need that. You know, I said, but I need some. I just can't mellow. I just need something to like chill and mellow. And I said, but I don't really know the right way to smoke. Like, I feel like I do, but I can't really. You got to bring it in. And I just don't. And it bothers my throat, and I got to do radio.
Yeah,
and
it does
that.
Mess up your throat a little bit.
So he gives me these edibles. He gives me one joint, And he says, try this and see what you can do with it. And he said, if this doesn't work, he said, take the edibles. It was like three little chunks of chocolate. And he said to me, but with edibles, you got to be really careful because you got to take it and you got to wait 2 hours before you take more because it could be a delayed effect.
Oh, yes.
You're not going to know.
This is true.
I'm going to a Rush concert. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm going to get all fucked up in a Rush concert, right? So he gives me the one little chunk. And, well, first of all, I tried to smoke the thing. And I just had very little success. It just wasn't working for me. So I put it back in a little tube. He gave it to me. And I actually gave it to Alex Lifeson from Rush at the show. Because Alex admits he's a huge weed guy. And again, we're in Denver, totally legal. So when I see Alex after the show, I go, Al, I got something for you. Like he wanted my half-smoked, you know, shitty joint with my, you know, spit on it. But he was nice. Like, oh, I'll take it. But I guess I gave it to Alex Lifeson from Rush, the half of the joint. And I took the edible. And it freaked me out because like a minute into it, like maybe 5 minutes into eating the edible, I actually felt real good. I felt like it was like working, but then it went away really quick. And I didn't want to take the second one because I didn't know the balance. Like I thought I'd be like whacked out on the floor or something. Like, hey, look at Eddie Trunk on the floor in the orchestra at the Rush show, you know? So I still didn't figure out the right mix, but I don't know why we got off on this tangent, but
relaxing.
Relaxing.
Staying present, yeah.
Right, and trying to stay focused on whatever, you know, whatever works for you. But you travel a lot. You're on the road. Do you do well on the road, sleeping and on buses? Or
well, the bus thing, yeah. Well, you know, like last night, I thought I was going to have a good night's sleep. But Mark and I have little games we like to play with each other. And I kind of like to, we kind of like to kind of egg each other on. And for some reason, we've had on the rider, we've had an overabundance of shredded wheat. Is that what we have, the cereal? Which is for me, because I like the shredded wheat. But we have a lot, because nobody else eats it. So there's just boxes and boxes and boxes of shredded wheat. So long story short, I like to, you know, just do things and put shredded wheat in his duffel bag. And just kind of, just because it just gets under his skin. And it's fun to watch him react. When last night he got me really good, I couldn't sleep at all. And I couldn't figure out why I was so uncomfortable. Turns out he'd taken all the shredded wheat and put it under my bunk. And that's not real comfortable.
Not the boxes,
I didn't know,
but the actual...
No, the boxes as well.
Everything.
Yeah, so
the
I just
packaging.
Slept... Yeah, the packaging, all the shenanigans in the Alter Bridge touring world. But no, actually, sleeping in, for me isn't always the easiest thing. I mean, that's probably the toughest part about touring. And the constant time changes and the, you know, it's just... I don't think humans were, we weren't really meant to be jumping time zones.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too. The time zone thing plays into it for me, too, because I travel and have in the last 5-7 years, probably more than I ever have in my life.
Yeah.
And just this trip alone, I went from here to L.A. for one day, back to here, so that's 2 hours, hour. And even though it's an hour, 2 hours here and there, I mean, you do a lot international. That's a whole other world.
But that's really messes you
up. But I just, for me, it's even an hour or two, it can set you off a little bit. And it just messes up your balance a little bit. All right, so Miles has a new record coming out. His first ever solo record called Year of the Tiger, which I want to get more into talking about because it is a concept record. It's a record that's very personal to him. I got a chance to listen to not all of it, but a little bit of it because I got it just sent and I got maybe through the first 4 or 5 tracks. And I really, like, honestly, I'm not just telling you this because we're friends. I really dug what you were doing and where you were coming from because I'm a firm believer in, like, artists that I love when they do solo records and step out of their things that they're known for. It's almost redundant if they do things that sound exactly like the bands that they're in already. And you obviously didn't do that. You were going for something different. Although, the one thing that I'll say about the record, too, that I was kind of... I kept hearing, you know, stripped down and all that. But there's... It's not a dirgy record. Like, it to me, it even though... We'll get into what the subject matter is. There are moments in, you know, it's within the up-tempo and within the what you're doing is rocking, you know, I thought.
Right.
And I don't know if that's something you were going for, but we'll touch on all that in a second because we got to come up on a break. So,
coming back with more with Miles Kennedy on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hope you guys are taking a moment to check out History's new scripted drama series, Nightfall, on Wednesdays, 10 Eastern and Pacific. It is pretty powerful stuff there. Nightfall, it's set in a medieval France tangled in politics and conflict. One headstrong and courageous Templar knight, Landry, will lead his order of warrior monks on a life or death mission to find the lost Holy Grail. Control the Grail, control the world. 10 episodes of Nightfall. It is an A&E Studios original production in association with Jeremy Renner's The Combine and Midnight Radio. This season takes viewers inside the medieval politics and warfare of the Knights Templar, the most powerful, wealthy, and mysterious military order of the Middle Ages, who were entrusted with protecting Christianity's most precious relics. You do not want to miss this incredibly cool show, history's new drama series, Nightfall, Wednesdays, 10, 9 Central on History.
Podcast One has new shows on our new app. Check out all the cool features to help you explore our exciting new programming, like America's Lakers podcast with Jay Moore, Sessions with Randy Jackson, So Random with Corinne Olympios, Attack Each Day, The Harbaugh's podcast, Not Just Sports with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen, and Sound of Success, The Dick Enberg podcast, as well as your old favorites like The Lady Gang, Steve Austin, Shaquille O'Neal, and Adam Carolla. Get the new Podcast One app in the App Store, Google Play, or PodcastOne.com.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Let's get back into it with Miles Kennedy on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast.
So, all right, so back to the Year of the Tiger. Tell me about the title, because that's significant.
Yeah, so Year of the Tiger. It was actually something I had floating around. Other than the one song, there's a song called "Love Can Only Heal" off the unreleased solo record that I redid. But I had this idea from as I was writing back in 2009 that came to me one day, and it was just this hook with this title, you know, because it was called "Year of the Tiger," and I really liked it. I just couldn't figure out what I would use it for. And then I realized that the Year of the Tiger was 1974, which was the year my father passed away when I was a kid. So I was like, oh man, I don't know if I want to go down that road, because I've never really been able to, you know, all the years I've been writing, never really wanted to tackle that one, because that's a heavy one for me.
But we should, if you don't mind, we should jump in, because that's important to the subject matter, because this is a concept record.
Yeah.
And your dad passing away at that age, your dad... The story is that your dad really shouldn't have passed away, right?
No, he shouldn't have passed away.
So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So when we, my family at that point were Christian Scientists. So,
which I don't even really know what that means.
So basically, what it is, this woman started, her name was Mary Baker Eddy in the 1800s. And the premise is that you don't... basically, you don't go to doctors. You know, you believe that God is going to heal you, and it's just a very. It's very frustrating even talking about it, frankly. But yeah. So Dad got sick and chose not to go see a doctor. And then
what was wrong with him?
He's died of appendicitis. And he died one night in his sleep because, you know, it blew up and the gangrene went all over.
Yeah. So he knew, did he know it was his appendix?
No, because he wouldn't see a doctor. So he'd gotten, but what was interesting was he got really sick about 8 weeks prior. He was in a lot of pain, my mom said. And then, there's a theory that it might have actually ruptured then, which I'm really going deep here, but he may have actually had the gangrene or whatever for quite a while, I don't know how that works.
Right.
mom woke up one morning and he passed away. So,
and you're how old at this point?
I'm four.
Four, okay.
Yeah. So that started a whole journey.
It's a heavy thing for you to deal with as a kid.
Yeah, it was a heavy thing for my brother and I and mom. And so,
and your whole family at that time was down with this religion and this belief.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, my family, my grandma, both grandmothers on both sides still continued, and they actually, both of them chose not to go the medical route and passed away. I mean, it was really, we were entrenched in the Christian Science faith, as you know, from what I can remember.
And then when did this change for you? Like, after your dad passed away, did it become like, okay, you know, we're going to kind of see doctors now and realize this is not.
Yeah, I think my mother.
Your mother kind of like a light went off, so to speak.
Yeah, she was like, okay, this is. The light had actually gone off for her a little earlier, but previous to his death, because she worked. She worked at a place where it was like a nursing home, and she realized that a lot of people seemed like they were passing away, and it was associated with the Christian science
right,
faith.
Right, right.
And so she was like, you know, I think, the sea change for her started to happen a little earlier.
Right.
But, yeah.
So this is something that obviously, you know, to this day, obviously is for the rest of your life is going to impact you. Why did you decide that now was the right time to use it as the subject for your first ever solo record? Because it's a concept record that tells the story of what? Of your dad and his and your family's journey through this, or your journey? Like, take us through what the concept record is.
Yeah, so the journey really starts when he passes away. There's a song, the second song on the record, The Great Beyond, is basically documents the night he passes away. And
which you remember vividly, even though you were
four?
No,
I don't remember vividly, but it basically it was just I tell that story in very kind of using very surreal imagery you know, it's definitely not something you can take very literal. It's just painting the picture of someone passing away. But really the story starts there, and through as the story progresses, my mother's the hero. You know, she the way she her fortitude through the whole thing, and how she fought for my brother and I, and we ended up leaving Boston where it all happened, just outside of Boston.
I never realized that you were born and raised in Boston. Originally.
Yeah, I was raised in that area.
I didn't know that.
That's why my name is Miles, actually, because we weren't too far from the Plymouth Rock. You know, Miles Standish, the guy who drove the Mayflower. So we started out in the Massachusetts area there. And then mom decided that we it was time to leave a few months after dad passed away. Yeah.
And then you went to Washington?
We ended up in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we moved to Wisconsin for a little while. And
from cold to colder?
From cold to colder, but lots of good cheese. It's true, man. Wisconsin has some good cheese.
Well, they should. That's what they're known
That's
for.
That's what they're
right?
known for. Absolutely. That's what they're known for.
So the idea, like, for you to tell this story, when did that connect with you that you were like, okay, I'm going to make this record, my first statement as a solo artist, and it's going to be this is where I'm going to go concept-wise and was it therapeutic for you to write about it?
It was therapeutic. There was a certain amount of catharsis with the whole process, but at the same time, it actually was a lot more difficult than I thought it would be, and it kind of brought a lot of ghosts that were hiding to the surface. And my wife watched me during the process. It turned into way more of a task than I originally thought it was going to be. I mean, frankly, it kind of messed with my head, and I think that's part of the reason I've needed to power down and not write for a while, because it was just like opening Pandora's box. And though it was like this interesting form of therapy, it also, you know, you discover a lot about yourself if you choose to do something like that. So yeah, it's been a learning experience, to say the least.
And you've never done a concept record,
not to this
kind,
degree,
right?
No. I mean, The Last Hero, there were elements that tied things together, but this, as I was writing it, even when you listen, like my friend Randy, when I played him the whole record, he's like, it's like a rock opera in a way, even though it's not rock, it's more, however you want to describe what it is, acoustic based.
Right.
As I was writing it, I mean, I could see the whole thing in my head, like as if it was a movie, and there's flashbacks and then flash forward, and then, you know, it was very cinematic in my head as it was being put together. So yeah, it's a total complete story.
And I mean, is that a challenge, like, as you're writing and you're going through parts of the story that I mean, all the records you've written and songs you've written, you don't have the confines of having to stay in a lane.
Right.
So now you are doing a concept record. You have to stay in this lane is that easier or harder as a writer?
I think with this, it was actually easier because I had so much I needed to get out, and I had so much to get off my chest. I almost it got to the point lyrically where I couldn't stop. And a lot of times during the lyric writing process, you're just like, oh, I don't know what to write about next. And I was, with this, I could write probably another record, and who knows, maybe I will someday. I still, everything based around this subject, because it was such a pivotal moment in my life, you know. So yeah.
The record comes out in March, right?
March 9th.
And the single, you're releasing a single, the title track, on Friday.
Friday, I believe.
In 2 days.
Yes.
So you'll be able to hear something from the record. We can't give you a little snippet now because it's not ready. The powers that be haven't authorized just yet. But on Friday, you'll be able to hear the title track released, which is the opening track on the record, and then be able to get the complete record on March 9th. And I imagine, have you thought about, and do you want to do live shows for it?
Yeah, I'm going to do some live shows. Would it
be just you, or are you going to put a band
together?
I'm
going to start out just with some guitars and myself. Yeah, keep it real stripped down. I think
Miles Kennedy and the Coffee Houses of America.
That's right. Just like back in the 90s, I used to do a lot of that. Have my little tip jar. Oh yeah. You know, I'm actually really excited about this because I love doing that sort of thing, and it's just very, you know, it's you and acoustic guitar against the world. You know, it's like, you got nothing to hide.
What are
behind.
Some of the craziest settings you've played in? Are there times it's just been like, you know, you're sitting there strumming and trying to sing your song. It's like, hey, give me a light smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, over here, I got a near Trenta.
Yeah,
and you're over here pouring your heart out.
Exactly.
And Miles is like shaking his head like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
And you miss that.
Yeah, now I think I'm not going to do this. I've just decided. Thanks, Eddie.
I just killed the Miles Kennedy solo tour, ladies and gentlemen. Call me the buzzkill. I just did it.
Oh yeah.
But that's. I mean, honestly, you're in a band now in Alter Bridge that we just talked about earlier. You're playing arenas in throughout Europe on a regular basis, playing great venues here in America. So it is going to be a 180, I would
total
think. You're going to go into a totally different sort of realm here.
Yeah.
And you need to sell. And I know you well that you're not, you know, you're not the hard sell guy. You're not the guy that's we've talked about this before. In Slash's band, you're just the singer. You're almost like the reluctant frontman.
The reluctant frontman. I love that. That's so true, though. You say it well.
Yeah. But you've gotten way better in that regard.
I tried to evolve to some degree. I'm never going to be like, it's just not in my DNA. I've always considered myself more of a singer, songwriter, guitar player guy who, like, you know, that's just what I do. So, but yeah, I think there's a certain comfort level I have with just showing up with a few guitars and just kind of putting it out there. Yeah, I like doing that.
So have you have dates yet, or are you just
we're working on
that?
We're working on it for spring of next year, and it'll be not just here in the States, but hope to do stuff in other parts of the world as well. And I think the goal is to try and play a number of things from my catalog throughout the last
few
decades.
Well, that's what I was going to ask
you
about. Are you going to do the whole catalog? Mayfield 4 and all the other stuff?
I think I'm going to mix it all together. And that's the really cool thing. I've been so lucky that I have had the run I've had as a musician. So, you know, now I get to look back on it all and extract some of my favorite moments from the quote-unquote, you know, legacy, whatever you want to call it, and play the tracks and
then I can hear pieces.
Pieces broken acoustic.
Acoustic. Ding, 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 ding.
Sensitive singer songwriter guy version.
Two quick things I want to ask you about, and then we're going to take a few calls from Miles Kennedy. Let him get out of here. Alter Bridge is out for just go. Is the website alterbridge.com?
Yes.
So wherever you're listening, if you want to see if there's a date left, there's a handful of shows left on this tour tonight in Tulsa. Just go to alterbridge.com, find a date near you. Two things I want to ask you about. I've talked to you about this many times before, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this part of it. For those that don't know, and this is something that like a handful of people can say, Miles Kennedy jammed with Led Zeppelin. Miles Kennedy sang as a potential guy to join Led Zeppelin.
Not Led Zeppelin, but project with
Jimmy Page, Jean-Paul Jones, Jason Bonham, potentially Miles Kennedy for them. Did they run a recording of it?
I've heard different accounts of that, but it was not a legit recording studio.
It wasn't videoed, right? It wasn't shot of it. Okay.
No.
But you don't know what. See, because you talk about things going through your head, right? Mm-hmm. Or not being able to turn things off. Like if I was you and I was in with essentially Led Zeppelin and singing with them, the rest of my life in my head, I would be like, I got to have a tape of that. There's got to be, they got to have some sort of proof. Somebody recorded it. Who can I call? How can I get it?
You know, for me though, I actually hope that didn't happen because I was actually pretty sick. I'd come off a tour in Australia, and I remember I got there and I had some bronchitis or something. And I remember it took a few days for my voice to come back. So I kind of hope there is nothing that exists.
I don't give a shit. I would just be like, see, it really happened. Listen, me. That's me with Jimmy Page. Like, what are you doing? And the other thing I wanted to hit you with real quick is the other day I'm clicking around on my TV and Rockstar was on. And of course you have you're in that movie. How did you get that gig? And what do you remember about being in Rockstar?
Well, I got the gig because of Brendan O'Brien. Brendan O'Brien,
the producer,
he mixed the first Mayfield record, and he was friends with one of the people involved with the film, and they had been looking for the Michael Thor character for a while, somebody that could sing but also could play the part. And Brendan put my name in the ring and said, you should call this kid from Spokane. And
how old were you when you were Rockstar?
Late 20s?
Well, I don't, because that movie's older than I thought. That movie's like 20 years old now, isn't it? 15, 20?
Yeah, it's coming up on that. It's crazy. Time flies.
Yeah.
But, I'd never acted or anything. So they flew me down and I read for the part with the director and the casting lady and then got the gig. And it was, you know, it was pretty wild.
How much time did you spend on the set? Was it a one-day deal? There was a couple days? Or
3 days of rehearsal, I want to say in like March of that year. And then I think we actually shot, it's all blur now, like later on that spring. So I think I was there a total like 6 days maybe.
You get residuals?
Someone told me I'm supposed to, but apparently I was supposed to sign up for something called a SAG card or something, which no one did. I didn't. I don't know this. I'm not an actor, so I think I missed out on.
You should be in SAG after just because of being a musician.
I don't know.
What's wrong with you, man?
I'm a typical musician, going through life with a, you know, just in a daze.
Yeah. Because if your songs end up in commercials or on TV shows, you get paid through that.
Well,
union.
That's different. That's like publishing and.
But it's SAG after too. Because I'm in SAG after from radio.
I'll call my attorney right now.
I'll give you my union guy. Call him. Because I did. I once played a dead body in Autopsy on HBO. Miles almost fell off the chair. Literally. He literally almost fell off the chair. Dude, I'm being dead serious with you.
What did they do?
Put a beard on me.
Yeah.
And I was told to lay in this gurney. Went to an old abandoned hospital in Queens.
And what year was this?
10 years ago, something like that. And I was doing commercial acting. I was auditioning for some commercials, and I was doing voiceover stuff, which I actually booked some. But I went to this abandoned hospital in Queens, and they told me, you know, I was cast in this thing on HBO. I'm like, oh, this is going to be amazing. You know, what is it going to be? You know, where's my lines? You know? And then, well, there's no real lines. It's like, okay. And I show up and there's a crew there and they put me in a hospital gown and they put a beard on me. And I said, okay, what do they do? And they go, just lay in the bed. What do I say? You don't say anything. Well, what do I do? Just twitch every once in a while. Like, twitch. They hooked up an IV bag to me. They put IV drops, like fake IVs and stuff. And I was like, why am I twitching exactly? What's my motivation here? What am I doing? And they said, well, your wife poisoned you for because she wanted the life insurance policy or something. So you've been poisoned. And your wife is going to walk in and turn the IV to give you extra juice to put you out, but you're still hanging in there and you're seeing her and you're like, oh, okay, I got this now. So I did the whole thing. And it still airs. And my point in telling you this is that I get residual checks
for it.
$1.20 every 6 months, Miles. That's what you're leaving on the table, pal.
I'm leaving $1.20 on the table.
No, you were in Rockstar. You're out there with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You might be leaving $5 on the table.
Yes, yes. I don't know. I should probably know these things.
But every once in a while, the funniest thing is all the years of doing that metal show, I swear to God, this is hysterical. We just started getting out of nowhere because I guess it's replaying places. We have no idea. We started getting – the other day I go in my mailbox. There's literally like 30 envelopes stacked up from the same talent payment company, all residual checks for that metal show. I'm like, oh my God, I'm Seinfeld. This is going to be unbelievable, right? I open these envelopes. Literally, it was for various episodes, different check for every episode. Literally, I'm not even kidding you. The payments were like 11 cents, 14 cents, 22 cents, stack of 30 checks. I went to my bank like an asshole with a stack of checks of 30 that totaled maybe $1.22. That's why you should be in the union. That's what you're missing, Miles.
Oh, Eddie, I'm sorry.
It's all good, man. I found other ways to make revenue. It's okay. We're all right. So anyway, let's get a couple calls in for Miles before he has to get out of here. But yes, you can see Miles in Rockstar airing on continuous loops on various networks every night. I see it all the time. Let's get a couple calls, and then Miles has got to get out of here. Let's talk to Tim, who is in Texas. Tim, you're on with Miles Kennedy.
Thanks, Eddie, and this is directed towards Miles Kennedy. How are you today?
Good, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Listen, followed you since your breakout tour here in Texas and seen about six shows, and I just wanted to know a couple of things about, we never have heard words darker than their wings. Is it a lyric deal, or what is it?
We just started playing that here and there. We did it at the Royal Albert Hall there in a few months ago. Yeah, and so we put it in once in a while. And part of the reason we don't do it is just because the end of the song. Yeah. And you know, it's been fine. But what it does is it kind of messes up the next few shows for me vocally. So yeah, we kind of pick and choose when we do those.
And the other thing I wanted you to know was this.
Go ahead,
Tim. Is that through the death of my son, your lyrics in Blackbird and a few of your other songs really got us through that period.
Thank you.
So when you don't think that it matters, it does.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for your loss, brother.
Keep on rocking, and we'll see y'all in
18.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for the call. Be well. We're sorry to hear that news. Thank you very much, Tim. Appreciate you listening. You mentioned doing something at Royal with an orchestra.
Yeah.
Is that coming out? Was that shot, recorded? What's the deal with
that? It's top secret. I would have to kill you if I tell you
okay.
this.
Okay. Well, you mentioned it, so otherwise, you know.
right.
But is it something that's, imagine, a project down the line?
It could be. It's a possibility.
So you played an Alter Bridge set with an orchestra.
Yeah, it was really.
Public show. People were in the audience.
Yeah, people. No, it was. No one was in the audience.
No, I don't know
just
if it was
cardboard
any,
cutouts
no,
of
like you did in studio or something.
No, it was
a live show.
Yeah, like 5,000 people a night, so it was like two really great evenings with an orchestra.
Did
fun.
You do that thing where people confiscate the cell phones on the way in so
no,
it wasn't shot?
No, I'm sure you could probably find it online.
How do you feel about that? Do you know that that's going on now?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. I'm gonna plead the fifth.
But you, as a musician, on stage looking out into the crowd, does it bother you when you see a bunch of phones?
I'm used to it
instead
this point.
Of faces.
No, I'm
used
to it.
You're not that guy that's going to say, you know, you're not engaging in the show. Put the phone down.
It's how people want to document their experiences now. You know, they want to have it in perpetuity through the recording device that is their phone. So
you're fine with whatever.
It is what it is. It's the new world.
It's the new cigarette lighter.
That's right.
Steve in Kentucky, you're on with Miles Kennedy. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man, you're on with Miles Kennedy. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, just want to ask Miles, as a guitar player, who's your biggest guitar influence?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I mean, I always go back to probably Jimmy Page, just because that was the guy for me.
You're just sucking up trying to get another
call. No, it's just the there's something about the way he composed things that just really resonated and still does. And still to this day, the way I use alter tune. In fact, on the solo record, on Year of the Tiger, and everything is alter tunings and all that. Ultimately, I learned from listening to guys like, you know, Jimmy Page. So, yeah.
You're mentioning off the air. Thank you, Steve, for the call. You're a huge Steely Dan fan.
Massive Steely Dan fan.
One of your all-time favorite bands?
All-time favorite bands.
All right. Let's talk to Greg in Texas. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Eddie. Hope you feel better, sir.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
Miles, a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on the Year of the Tiger. Can't wait to hear it next March.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Just a quick question for you. You touched a little bit on your songwriting process for the solo record. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do when you're writing with Mark in Alter Bridge or Slash with the Conspirators?
Yeah, I mean, those are different process. It's a different process with Mark, because basically I have I like the analogy I like to use is it's like, you know, it's like a puzzle, and so if I have a verse or a chorus or a bridge idea, and then I come to Mark and say, "Hey, do you have something that fits with this?" and we basically kind of put parts together. We have a like these catalogs of ideas that are verses or choruses or bridges or riffs or whatever, and we just find a way to kind of mesh the parts together. With Slash, it's different because he'll come in with basically a sonic canvas for me to paint with, put via melody and lyrics. So it's definitely they're very different, and it's good for me as a writer because it kind of keeps me keeps it fresh, and I think just keeping the process so different keeps it fun for me.
Two more quick calls and we'll let Miles get out of here. This is Chance, who's listening in Missouri. Chance, you're on with Miles Kennedy.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey man, good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to know like what you noticed the biggest differences or similarities between recording the solo record versus like the various other projects you've been in the studio with.
Well, I think the biggest thing is just that I've got it's kind of the how do I put this? It's kind of all on you, you know. It's
right.
Like it's kind of up to you as far as how you want to, where you want to take things. And though that can be very liberating, it also makes you appreciate when you have writing partners, because there's certain in the decision making process that can be much easier and quicker. But I think for this solo record, one of the main difference was just the way that I chose to arrange things in the instrumentation, because this record is not. It's not high gain, you know, the PRS guitar straight into high gain amps. It's basically, you know, a lot of acoustic guitar, a lot of lap steel, mandolin, banjo. I mean, it's a very different approach for me. And I found that very, very liberating, but challenging at the same time.
How much time did it take you to record it? Did you do it all in one chunk, or did you spread it out over time, or how much time did you spend on it?
We almost had it all done in one chunk. I think we started in early or mid August, and then we would have finished it in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but then the hurricane rolled in Orlando.
Oh, because you were doing it with Elvis in Orlando.
So I had to get out of there. And we had about 4 days left. So I went home for a few days and had to do a tour of South America, went straight from South America back to Florida, finished up the remaining tracks. I think we had 4 days to do. And then, yeah, so okay. It was pretty quick.
One last call for Miles Kennedy here. This is Jonathan, who's in Texas. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, Eddie and Miles. Good to hear y'all on the radio together. I've got a real quick question for you. You know, I know it's kind of soon, but I was just wondering if any of the other bands who have recently lost their lead singers have approached you to be a fill-in for them, like FDP or Soundgarden.
Nobody's reached out. Although I did get to meet Robert DeLeo a few months ago at during Kings of Chaos event, and man, that was awesome for me, because I'm a big fan, and what a cool guy. That was really cool.
those guys, Robert, Dean, Eric, I spent a lot of time with them very recently, like in the last 6 months, because I did specials with them for the 25th anniversary of the first record, and I actually just did the first special with the very first thing they did with the new singer, with Jeff. And I saw the show, the one show they've done with them so far at the Troubadour. Sure. And I really found the right guy. I really think.
Yeah, I agree.
And
they're
good people. Those guys are really good people. They've been through a lot. Yeah. And I'm really, I think there's a lot of goodwill, a lot of people rooting for them to. Yeah. And they made, and the first lead track, too, they made is a really cool song.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm really, really, really happy for those guys. They definitely deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, man, I know you got a gig tonight. I know you got a role. I really appreciate you coming out here. And
thanks for having me.
Of course, anytime, man. Next time, let's see, we've done regular radio studio, my basement studio, casino in Tulsa. I don't know. Where else could we possibly do a show from? We got to figure something out. From a colonoscopy.
Hey, dual colonoscopies.
Miles and I will put headsets on while we're getting probed. That's it. I love the fact that I can do my show from anywhere. We're doing it from me and Miles getting joint colonoscopies. We'll give you the play-by-play.
I'll call my doctor right after this. We're setting it up. He'll love it.
Well, you're in Washington. I'm in Jersey. We'll have to meet somewhere in the Oklahoma. Right.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's in the middle of the country.
That's right.
That's it. We can do now.
We're doing it. Oh, my God.
So tonight after Kane's Ballroom, meet Miles and I at the local colonoscopy center, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Year of the Tiger coming out on March 9th. And, you know, the record's still down the line a little bit. So when we get actually, people can actually get it, we'll do something again and make sure we remind everybody about the album coming out. But, yes. And I'll see you if you're going to the show tonight in Tulsa. I'll see you guys out there if you're listening, and check out alterbridge.com to find out. Handful of dates left for the tour, for their latest and greatest record, The Last Hero. The last few Alter Bridge records, as I said, each one gets better and just killer stuff. So I will be, even though I'm in bad voice.
I didn't even notice.
I will be there. This is my last night here. I'm looking forward to, no matter what, I'm even have a couple drinks, Miles. It could get crazy.
It's going to get crazy.
Could get nuts. Could get nuts. Get ready. Batten down the hatches, Tulsa. All right. I'll see you guys later on tonight, man. Right. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, brother.
So much fun to hang and talk to Miles. And like I said, I had a chance to see the show that night, and it was stunning. It is remarkable what Alter Bridge do live. They are among my favorite bands out there doing it right now. So, so, so good. And I really, really enjoyed the hell out of that. Can't wait to see what they do next. In the meantime, Miles is going to be focused a lot, it sounds like, on his solo record for 2018, Mark Tremonti with his own band, Alter Bridge coming back together in 2019. As far as what's going to happen with Slash and Miles, as you just heard in that interview, there's no real plans for anything with those guys. So it, you know, could change, but it doesn't seem like Slash is going to be rushing to fire up his solo band anytime soon. I'm sure he wouldn't mind some time to recharge a little bit after the Guns N' Roses tour. We'll keep an eye on that situation as well. Want to thank the Hard Rock in Tulsa for hosting me. Always a great time. Thanks to Miles Kennedy for dropping by and spending time with me before the Alter Bridge show that night in Tulsa. Thank you, of course, for listening each and every week to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Thanks to Katie Irizarry. She's the producer. And I will see you guys next Thursday for another all-new episode. Have a great week, everybody.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. Now, if you're hearing my voice, it means you like podcasting. And if you like podcasting, well, then you're going to love my show. lots of funny segments, good bits, great guests, and of course, moi. That's Mexican for me. So, check it out at Podcast One, iTunes, or wherever you listen to fine podcasts. The Adam Carolla Show. Throw it on your phone. It's free.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.